The great thing about Atlas Butler is they do it all. Heating, cooling, plumbing. Look, I'm busy with work. I don't have time to wait around or deal with lots of people. One company, one call, and they do it all. Wonder if they'll clean out my inbox. Seriously, offer that service. Please.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
6 months now since Nancy Guthrie was taken from her Tucson home, and the biggest break in the public's understanding of this case did not come from a press conference. It came from a mistake. Maybe this shouldn't be a surprise. The sheriff's office put out a media release with the ransom Bitcoin address attached, address printed right on it, and my guest traced every transaction on that wallet. Jennifer Coffendaffer is with us, retired FBI special agent, joining me to discuss what she found. So, the Pima County Sheriff's Office sent out its own media release with the alleged kidnapper's Bitcoin wallet address at the bottom. They pulled it back, but it was already screenshotted out there on the internets. That address is the only reason the public knows what the money actually did. I want to talk about what was in it, but I also want to talk about how. How does the office that's running this case leak that? I mean, there's nobody's checking work here anymore, are they? There's no proofers, there's no editors, there's no, hey, let's just get a second set of eyes on this before we post it. It just seems to be like, click, done, oops. is that really pretty much what we're talking about here?
It kind of seems like, right, it's just a tweet or something. Like, yeah, I'm throwing this out. Here's a couple thoughts here. You know, it's really unfortunate. In a sense that happened. I mean, for all of us that followed this case, it was, for me at least, a huge epiphany. I was able to really understand the transactions, the note, the links, which were really important. And so it really shed a lot of light on the case. On the case, for sure.
Yeah, it's almost like it has the importance of the local school district tweeting out the lunch menu of that week. You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's just baffling the amount of thought that goes into just like when we put something out, when you tweet something out. I mean, you proof it a little bit. You make like, okay, does this make sense? Is this, you know, it's not just, oh, shoot, I shouldn't have put that out there, but they did, and it is out there now, so it is what it is. Your trace showed the FBI moved 0.0022 Bitcoin, roughly $300 at the time, into that wallet on February 10th, and it's still sitting there untouched today, from what I can understand. No ransom was ever paid, not $4 million, not a dime. So when Savannah Guthrie has come out and said, we did our part, what part is she exactly talking about?
Well, I tell you what, Tony, with that small amount of Bitcoin that went in, and I'm not sure exactly why they chose that amount, but I don't think it was tickling the wire, obviously. The whole idea of tickling the wire means you tickle and you get a reaction. That amount of money would do nothing to get a reaction, but it did make it obvious that you could do deposits into that account. It assured that, but this is the big thing it did. It allowed a message to be attached to that deposit. And that message had a secret link that once it was opened, I believe by the bad guys, it blew up, gone, disintegrated into the ether. So in other words, that opened up a line of communication between the Guthries and the abductors. And we can't see what happened from that point on. So it's possible that Savannah did make the deposit like she alludes to in her message.
So there is a link. Is that link, because I was getting somewhat educated in this as I was learning about it. I didn't know you could send messages and things like that through the wallets. This is very valuable to us and we will pay. That's the message that was there. Is that the area? Is that where there was a link included with that message? Help me understand.
Yes, this is very valuable to us and we will pay. And then there's a link that they could press that took them into a whole nother communication system. But the minute it's opened, it blows up. In other words, no one else can open that link ever again. Now that can be put on a timer, like 6 months, 2 weeks, whatever. But I don't think the Bureau would have put that on a timer. They would want to keep communication open. So if that is correct, then the bad guys would have had to have opened that link, or TMZ, or, you know, the media outlets, which I don't think they would be that stupid to do that. And so I think that at least they opened it. So it begs the question, was there interactions between them after that? And was another Bitcoin address provided where Savannah could have made a deposit, like she alludes to in her message?
Like the where she's verbally said, we've done our part. Maybe there was. Maybe it goes beyond this wallet, is what you're saying, that it would have went somewhere. I'm assuming that link, I'm going to guess, would be, you know, traceable to an IP. Whoever clicks on it, that's an IP connecting there. Could be through a VPN, could lead absolutely nowhere to someone who is clicking on it to protect themselves. I mean, it's another line out there, I guess, that could lead somewhere, but it, like I said, it may lead absolutely nowhere. Do we know anything about that link? If it was clicked, who clicked it, where it would have gone, what it would have done? Does it go to another Bitcoin? Does it lead to, what does it lead to? Does it lead to like the line of communication, or do we have any idea other than it's a string of numbers and letters that lead somewhere, and that's about all we know?
Well, we know it leads to communication. So we know that they could send messages. They could have left another Bitcoin address. It opened up that communication, which is great. To me, it was very interesting knowing that it was opened, in my opinion. It was opened because it disintegrated. In other words, if it wouldn't have been open, that link would still be able to go into, but you can't, because when you do, it gives a 404 message that basically says it's gone.
Do we know about the timeline here on how this all went down? Because you get the first ransom demand letter, then you obviously get the second that says she's dead and we're sorry. Where does this message on there of we're serious about this, we will pay, the link, and then the second letter that comes out saying we're sorry, she's dead? How does this all fall on the timeline?
Well, unfortunately, it falls when it's too late. It falls on 2/10. February 10th is when it all happens. And I find that very interesting because, of course, that is when the porch guy video and photos were released. So to me, this is when the Bureau is really taking this case by the horns. Obviously, they were invited in on the fourth day or so, but you got to get ramped up. You got to get everything opened. You know, people think that it's kind of just like that. But it's really not. There's a lot to do. You got to make assignments. You got to pull people off of other cases. You got to get money. All of this takes time. So I find it interesting. Everything, bam, happened on the 10th.
Is there a possibility here that Savannah did pay millions of dollars, the $4 million or whatever it was, through a different account here, doing her part, and has not received anything back, not even information about where her mother may be buried?
Well, I think it's possible, and it would have been going against what the FBI would have recommended, but it happens all the time. The fallacy is that people think because the FBI recommends something that everybody follows the FBI's recommendations. And also, this happens worldwide. People are taken. We talked about the numbers for Bitcoin in wrench style attacks, 800 plus million last year that was paid. And I've pointed out very specific cases where relatives were taken. They sent out what they wanted. The relative who was rich paid it, and they actually got the person back. They told them where they were so authorities could go get them. So I'm not saying that that's 100% what happened here. I'm just saying that happens. And to me, it really makes that last letter, the apology letter, make a lot more sense, doesn't it, Tony? Like, oh God, you sent me that money. I'm sorry it didn't work out.
But the fact that they never revealed where the body was, that makes me believe even more that these ransom letters have nothing to do with Nancy, that it was somebody going for an advantageous, let's try and get some millions of dollars out of Savannah and be on our little merry way. Because if that's what happened, a big if, we don't know if that's what happened, but if we're conjecturing this up, if they didn't say where the body is and she paid, does that make you believe more that these are from a legitimate source that had anything to do with the disappearance of Nancy Guthrie or someone who bamboozled the FBI, bamboozled the Guthries into giving them several million dollars on an empty promise?
Well, so obviously a lot of people agree with you that this was just a farce to get money, but I want to reiterate why I don't believe that. Number one, they said exactly where her white watch was, exactly where it was. Not it's on the nightstand where one might guess it could be. They had that information within, 24 hours. That note went out the second. Remember, she was taken on the first. So I should say within a day, right? It came out the second. So how could they possibly know her white, very specific, and I haven't seen pictures of her with the white watch, mm-hmm. was at the end of the bed. How could they know exactly about the floodlight? My belief is they did both of these things. It wasn't that her watch fell. They put it there so they could say, the watch is here. We broke the white floodlight. Remember, this is no light is allowed. So it's not like her floodlights were on. It's not mm-hmm. allowed to be on. You can have a porch light on, but they would have smashed that, Tony. So that's why the Bureau Plus, why would the Bureau, it would be totally sadistic to make this family do the first plea, the second. There's been 7 pleas now. Fed in terms of what they were going to say by the BAU. Why mm-hmm. would they pull all those resources if they don't believe these two notes are real? And why, when Reuters came out and said they were trash, why would have the Bureau or one of a handful of times in this whole 6 months come out and say, kidnapped for ransom, and we're looking into the notes? I think they were pissed.
Let me ask you about the evidence, the Apple Watch on the ground and the destroyed floodlight, because I believe that was the word used, destroyed floodlight. I have two thoughts on it. First, I'm wondering if someone within the investigation could have had a conversation openly somewhere at the subway, at the Arby's, wherever you're chatting, somebody overhears this or somebody that they knew overhears this, and they go, oh, there's some inside information nobody else knows. And if they are so advantageous and creative and evil and want to try and pull something like that off, there's some information that nobody else would know outside of inside the investigation. That would be interesting. I would be looking at anybody within that ether that suddenly has a windfall of money that may have landed on them in the last handful of months. Highly doubtful that's that. But it's an angle. The other angle on that would be that maybe they did, in fact, know these facts. Let me ask you about the floodlight, though. We were talking about this the other day. Was the floodlight destroyed? We know it wasn't working, but burned out, not working, whatever. Very different than destroyed. Do we know what the actual condition of the floodlight was?
Well, I tell you, you can look at Google Maps and try to find all this information. And that's what everybody said. Oh, somebody saw it on Google Maps. Please show me.
Yeah.
Because I've been looking. I can't see it. And further, just to key off of that, many people, including me, I've used that in other cases. I'll give you an example, is Melody Buzzard. When everybody was saying, oh, that little girl in the wig, who's much taller, who doesn't look anything like the photos we had seen, mm-hmm. that wasn't Melody with the mom at the rental office, for those of you who followed that case.
Yeah.
Well, I got really lucky, went on Google Maps, because I like to do that, and I looked and I saw her coming out of the house with Mama in that exact same stature. And so I said, see, she was tall and big. It's nothing like these photos of her, which we kind of knew were aged photos, but
yeah.
It's great to see that. So what I'm saying is Google Maps is such a great tool, and I can't find that floodlight on Google Maps. I don't think it exists. I think they crushed it. I think they destroyed it as a marker. I really think so, for them to be believed.
Yeah, we just don't know the other side to that yet. That's the thing. I mean, and I get people saying the Google Maps thing, but what gets me is the verbiage destroyed. And I mean, to destroy a floodlight, it takes a little. I mean, why do you do? I guess what were they going to destroy a floodlight with? I mean, you're going to need some sort of apparatus to reach that high and then hit it hard enough to actually destroy it. That would cause some noise. That would cause some kerfuffle. I would think that'd be more than someone would actually want to be doing if they're trying to break into a home and not be noticed. That's what gets me about that. Is what is stating that is one thing. It actually being what reality is on the outside of Nancy Guthrie's house, we still don't know the answer to it. The investigators would know. Anybody close enough to the house would probably know that answer. I'm curious about that one. I don't know that we truly have an answer yet.
Well, first of all, Tony, just that you put kerfuffle into a sentence, I'm just like blown away right now. Kerfuffle. Okay. But moving on from kerfuffle, I picture the floodlight as being on the ground and going up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I always think of them. Yeah, that could be too. You're right. Yeah.
I could be wrong, but that's how I picture it. And I literally picture taking a foot and just, you know, bashing it and dismantling it from the electrical wires and so forth. So that's that. But again, I look at the reaction of the FBI. And the reaction of the FBI was clearly they believed these notes mm-hmm. and they orchestrated the response to the notes. And I mean, I heard Savannah say with her own mouth on NBC to Hoda, she believes those first two notes are real.
Yeah.
And now that I've finally been able to see them and we've finally been able to see them, they make a lot of sense in terms of the demand. That really makes sense, although written oddly. And then the second one,
having now seen the Bitcoin wallet and what was in it, from an investigative standpoint, what would you have done differently in terms of how that whole thing played out? What went in, what went out, the notes that were sent through it? Or did they do everything as they thought would be the most advantageous to get information or to get Nancy back? Did they do anything wrong?
I have one picadillo. Mm-hmm. Kerfuffles and picadillos today.
Yeah.
My issue is with all the SMEs, the subject matter experts working on this case and companies involved that I 100% know exist, private companies that can help with this digital trail and following it. When they put that link in, it had to be airtight for tracing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just believe it must not have been. In other words, it must not have been airtight that the people use whatever we talked about, a VPN, account address.
There's only so much, there's only so tight you can make that link. I mean, you're dependent on what's coming to it. And if what's coming to it is already masked through a VPN, there's nothing about that link or that's going to like take that mask off. So you're kind of at the mercy of them going at it with something that is revealing. And if they're in any way competent in what they're doing, one would think that they would have masked that. But again, I mean, that also does speak to the sophistication of whoever is doing this. If this was a fly-by-night jewel thief who hit the wrong house, which is kind of where I've been going for a while, I don't know that they're going to be that well versed in Bitcoin wallets and VPNs and all that. I don't know. I mean, it's a more complex criminal organization might be, but all it takes is one person with a bit of knowledge. These are really not that super complex of concepts to wrap your mind around. You could spend an hour and learn it by watching some YouTube videos. But I guess the question is, you know, did the person take that time to do that or have that sort of knowledge, considering they were grabbing, you know, cilantro to cover the camera to begin with? It doesn't strike me as the most sophisticated of operations.
Well, riddle me this, Tony, just as a thought.
Yeah.
We see a lot that shows sophistication.
Sure.
We just do. You know, even setting up this Bitcoin account not to be traced. Yeah. And there's a whole system within Bitcoin that you have to, just like if you open a bank account, you have to give them your mother's last name, right?
Yeah.
I'm joking, but you have to give all your identifiers. They were able to do this surreptitiously. Mm-hmm. So when you think about that, when you think about the fact that the emails weren't traced, when you think about the fact that they knew to use these tip lines that would make them almost unable to be found, at least so far, when you think about the link that was utilized, but not able to be traced, a lot of these details, right? It does seem that there's some sophistication. So if it's this, if you have a more sophisticated network here,
yeah,
who identified Nancy as an amazing target,
yeah,
because of the relationship with Savannah and the huge amount of money Savannah had, and then you have a mope that we see on the front porch, you know, and you task that mope also with sending these letters. That's why you see two completely opposite formatted letters, right? The first letter is mope. This is what we want you to send out.
Yeah.
It screws up. He forgets the dollar sign. He spells words wrong. He kind of makes a few errors, but he basically does what he's told to do. And the second note, and we know they're the same person because they have the same Bitcoin address or the same
IP. Yeah.
And then the second note isn't him being guided by any sophisticated people, but him doing it because he's worried about his tail. He's the one on the line if he gets caught. Just a thought there.
Yeah.
It could be such big difference in the
don't necessarily have to be the same person for it to be true, essentially. Which is so much of this. It's like, are these even the same things that are connected? Are they not? Are they the same person? There's so many things. One more thing I want to get your take on, Nanos, another, you know, fine statement over the week, saying there may be thousands of hours of video that still hasn't been reviewed. Now, we're 6 months in. WTF is he talking about?
I'll tell you what he's talking about. Yeah. And we've touched on it some, but I might not have been as specific as I meant to be. Nancy's house here.
Yeah.
Points of exit here, right? You have to go right or left. And then choke points that veer off in all these different directions and continue choke pointing, meaning you get to the street and you have to turn right, you have to turn left, you have to go straight, whatever the case may be. Investigators have to follow each exit route and the tributaries from those routes and get all the video they can, until hopefully it actually goes to a main thoroughfare where traffic cams could catch them. The good news is, right, it's such a finite time frame, right? 228, it disconnected. So they're not looking like 24 hours. But those tributaries have all these cameras. I think that's exactly what they're talking about. I think analysts with the FBI are sitting at their desks literally looking at these different footages hours and hours a day.
There's only so many out, you know, places you're going to go. We're not talking like millions of roads here. We're talking, tens, maybe, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's not an egregious amount.
I'm going to say hundreds.
And we're talking six months since this happened. Mm-hmm. What the fuck have they been doing?
if they haven't looked at this video yet. Isn't that like the first thing you look at? I mean, why 6 months? There's thousands of hours, Nanos. What is everybody out on vacation at Arby's? Or like, what's going on?
Well, I think the only ones looking at it, first of all, aren't special agents. That was something that I seldom, if ever, did. Only when it came to child porn cases did we handle all of that, looking at videos. But when it comes to that, that's going to go to the IAs. And first of all, Nanos doesn't have that kind of staff, period. So that's going to be the FBI staff working on it. Remember, they did the same in Koberger.
Yeah.
And finally identified a car. Remember how?
Well, it was like within 6 weeks. We're at 6 months. That's what I just don't get here is the timeline.
That's true. But the difference is on Koberger's case, that place was lit up like a Christmas tree everywhere. This whole dark situation has such a huge impact on these cameras being able to catch a plate or catch a car. And then once you think you have one, then you're sending it up to headquarters to get it, you know, fine tuned. I just wonder if they literally cannot fine tune any of the images they have and they're still searching.
I understand. Like fine tuning, I mean, be great, but 6 months in, I mean, something. Can we put something out there? If you got a video of something, some semblance of a vehicle, Koberger's car wasn't that clear either, and it was put out there. I don't know. I either it's extreme incompetence or they have nothing. It feels like one of the two. I don't know. Just 6 months in, saying there's still thousands of hours to go through here. Huh? What do you mean? Yeah, like you haven't done it yet? I don't know.
I don't think they've done it. And the other thing is, even though you might have, we have thousands of IAs, you know, investigative assistants in the Bureau that are looking through these, but they also have hundreds of other cases on there. And at some point you get, it's already been streamed down. I mean, there's a handful of people working on this. Let's be honest. Tony.
Yeah. I feel like between you and me, we could have put together a ragtag band of true crimers to go through the video and had answers within the weekend in February. And we're in August now. I don't know. The excuses, the statements, they just don't add up. But it's Nano, so par for the course. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in and give us your thoughts.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.